Thanks very much. Over to Alan from Grid.
Good morning. I'm going to be talking to you about the summer outlook report. Before I start that, I wanted to sort of maybe trial the or precursor to the next one, which will be the winter outlook report. By its nature, we don't have at National Grid a complete picture of all of the possible things that might happen during a winter or a summer, and we are very reliant on publicly available information. And there are some areas where we don't actually have the detailed information, issues around how generation might behave under LCPD or the commissioning of gas facilities. And it's really a plea, looking ahead to the next document, which we are actually just starting. It's almost as though for us, winter comes earlier every year, and we are just starting to write the winter outlook. And it's a plea that it is a two-stage process. We will send out, and there will be working in conjunction with Ofgem, an initial document. And it's really a plea for people to respond to that and let us have your views, in order that when we come to the final document later on in the year, that we can give the best possible picture based on the best possible sources of information that are available to us. So it's really a plea to the industry to let us have your views when that document comes out. Turning to the summer, I'm going to be looking at electricity demand and supply, Scottish export issues, gas demand and supply, some increased transparency and some more information on the electricity side. Turning to electricity demand and supply first, what you can see here are the forecast electricity demand for varying types of temperature for this summer. And with electricity, there's a relatively complex relationship between temperature and demand, depending on what time of the summer that you look at, and depending on what the temperature is. We tend to focus this around what we call a comfort temperature. And I know that we're different for each individual, but we work on a comfort temperature of 16 to 17 degrees. And as you move away from that, different things happen. As you can see, if you look on this chart in May, if the demand will rise when the temperature drops. In late May and June, the temperature is often close to that 16, 17 degrees I referred to. And so it will either fall or increase in temperature, and that was obviously can cause the demand to increase. Moving on into midsummer or later summer, during July and August, when the temperatures are typically above the comfort temperature, then the demand will rise as the temperature increases, predominantly due to air conditioning demand. And as we get into September, the demand will increase when the temperature drops. One of the major issues for us is that increase in demand that we see when we get the increases in temperature. Not only does that have an impact on the traditional power demand, but it also has an impact on the reactive power demand on the system, and that again can make voltage control more challenging. And on particularly hot days in the summer, we can see the demand increase as much as 2,000 megawatts. Looking at the generation capacity available for this summer, this is based on the contracted capacity, and there's 76 gigawatts of generation connected for this summer, and that includes some 170 megawatts of wind that progressively becomes available during the course of the summer. This is what's available. It's not what's going to be available on the day. That information we receive from the generating companies, and they advise us of their maintenance plans. So this gives you what the capacity available is, not what the output usable might be on any given day. The declared generation availability is based on what the generating companies have told us about their maintenance plans. And you can see two lines on this graph, one with 2 gigawatts from France and one without. This is the current view. This information is updated on a monthly and weekly basis. And it makes no allowance for any losses, unplanned generation failures. Typically during the summer, we would expect to have to hold somewhere in the region of 6,000 to 7,000 megawatts of additional generation to cover for unplanned breakdowns. That said, provided there are no significant supply shocks, we would expect that this level of generation is more than adequate to meet the demand for electricity this summer. At this time, we do not see any significant risks of security supply arising from LPCD, or LCPD rather. And that's because we assume at times of tight margin and high prices that the coal and oil stations will continue to make themselves available to operate, but naturally that would be at a higher price. Turning to what can we expect on the England-France electricity interconnector. Generally, it is following the European-UK price differentials, as you can see here. It will move around a lot, dependent on what those differentials are, and it's very dependent on what's happening across Europe. It's very weather-dependent, with growing levels of wind across Europe, then we can actually see already that on still days, that is having an impact across Europe and will have an impact on the flows we can expect on the interconnector. So it will move around. That gives you a potential 4,000 megawatt swing from one day to the next as it goes from 2,000 megawatts in to 2,000 megawatts out. So it can be very volatile. Looking at the summer 2007 coal and gas fired generation load factors, a lot of this has been covered already. But last summer we saw there was a direct correlation between the load factor of coal and gas fired generation relative to the spark spread. What you can see here is that at times the load factor, as indicated on the left hand side, can be, at times it can be dominated by coal, at times it can be dominated by gas, clearly linked to the gas price. So it can switch. I can remember back when we first started writing this document, we almost had two versions because it was at a time where the prices were switching. One day it was going to be gas, the next day it was going to be coal, and we had actually virtually two versions of this document running at one period. I'm pleased to say that as we got closer to the publication date, at least it became clearer which one we were going to use. If we look at the comparison of the clean spark spread versus the dark spread, the electricity prices and fuel costs for coal and gas for summer 2008 indicate that coal will be the preferred fuel for baseload generation this summer. Although the large combustion plant directive may impact upon the running regimes of coal-fired generation, it's unlikely that that would impact on preferred fuel type. There are some stations, Longannet, Fiddler's Ferry, Ferrybridge, Rugeley, Aberthaw, that haven't yet fully commissioned their FGD plant. So their summer running regimes are uncertain. And when they are available without the FGD, it's likely that they'll behave as though they're opted out plant. But generally, we would expect that on those days that it's required, where the prices are such that the plant affected by the LCPD will actually run. Moving on to Scottish export constraints. We've just started a program of work in Scotland and on the boundary circuits to rebuild parts of the system to connect renewable generation. That will require major outages across what we call the Cheviot boundary, which is the interconnecting circuits between England and Wales and Scotland. That will constrain the capacity of those boundary circuits at times from 2.2 gigawatts down to 0.6 gigawatts. This is an unprecedented level of outages on those circuits. In recent years, last year looking back, you would expect somewhere in the region of 8 to 10 weeks. We're well over 20, nearer 30 weeks this year. And that's upgrading those circuits in order that we're able to transport the power from the new renewable generation in Scotland into England and Wales. We'll manage those constraints for a variety of means. We will contract to limit generation output. We will make use of intertrips where possible. This is the ability for us to automatically trip generation in the event of a circuit fault. Where necessary, we will take actions in the balancing mechanism on the day. And where it's economic, we will use trades and pre-gate balancing transactions in order to get the most economic solution to meet the available export depending on what level the constraint is at. That's likely on occasions to mean that up to 1,000 megawatts of generation may be constrained back in Scotland and unavailable for us to use. We don't see that as a security of supply issue, that is a cost of constraints issue. Generally, the margins are such that we can more than accommodate that. Turning to gas demand and supply, we expect the gas demand this summer to be broadly similar to that what we've seen in previous years. But at all times, there's a considerable variation in terms of the range of demand. Even during the midsummer period, with average demands of typically 200 MCMD, there are days of demand as high as up to 250 and as low as 150. Those are primarily driven by UK exports, what the gas-fired power generation is doing, and obviously, as we've heard previously, the storage injection. If you look at the range of DM export and power generation across the summer, this chart highlights the modest variation in DM and Irish demand of just 20 and 10 MCMD respectively. However, the variations for power generation and UK exports are much greater, approximately 50 MCMD for each, with a storage injection of up to 35. Power generation can, during the summer, represent up to a third of the gas demand. The reduced demand for gas for power generation means that we get different ranges, and we can see that if you assume that the gas is the marginal fuel and coal remain in base load, the range for the gas-fired generation demand would be between 40 and 70 MCMD. If you were to look at it in the other direction, what would happen if that switched? Then you would look at a range for gas-fired power station demand between 60 and 95 if it was to take the baseload role of what we believe is going to be coal. The range of non-weather sensitive demands experienced are in the order of 110 to 190, but could again be as great as up to 230. This chart gives you the aggregated storage stocks from 2005 to 2007. Despite the variations in need to refill by up to 1 BCM, storage and stock levels in those years have been comparable by the time you get to August. For 2008, approximately 3 BCM of storage needs to be refilled. If you look at historic average filling rates in the order of 10 to 15 MCMD and a maximum storage rate of between 25 and 30, with that 3 BCM, the duration to refill is expected to be between 120 and 200 days, well in time for next winter. Turning to supply sources, this is the range of supply sources that have been available during 2005-2007. It highlights considerable variations in all the supply sources. Minimum flows of zero have been experienced for all supply sources except UKCS, and even in the midsummer period is assessed, if you just look at that part in the middle of the summer, the ranges that you see are still considerable. We would expect the UKCS supplies to continue to be by far the largest supply this summer. However, as previously we've stated in our previous reports, we continue to expect UKCS supplies to decline by 5 to 10%, resulting in the need for higher imports. To put that in context, a 10% decline is equivalent to about 16 MCMD. With an expectation of higher Norwegian production at Ormen Lange being brought on stream, we would expect higher Norwegian imports this summer, and these are expected through a combination of Langeled, Vesterled, and the Tampen Link. Looking at forward gas prices, which we've already covered, the UK has exported every summer. We anticipate this trend will continue this summer. The exception to export conditions will be if the UK experiences a supply shock resulting in an increase in UK gas price, or if the UK gas demand for power generation was higher than expected. As LNG has not flowed significantly to the UK last winter and the price differential of UK versus Henry Hub is diminishing, we think it is unlikely that LNG flows will be materially higher this summer than last summer. The exception to this is the possibility of commissioning and thereafter the commencement of regular cargoes at Milford Haven from both South Hook and Dragon. Looking at our 2008 forecast for summer supplies by terminal, the uncertainty over what supply sources will flow in terms of totals flows through to which entry terminals will receive the gas. The uncertainty is further compounded by the fact that the summer demand is typically one half of that of winter demand. You need to take that into account in the context for our forecast flows for this summer. Summer's dominated by St. Fergus and Baxton. Supplies from St. Fergus are in decline, as seen in 2007, and that's been made up by Easington, as we see the first or last winter summer we saw the first of the Norwegian gas come in. Moving on to transparency, which we had a question earlier, I'm just going to finally cover some of the work that's been done on electricity transparency. This has been a joint development between National Grid and Elexon, and we have produced new summary pages on the Elexon website that include demand, generation availability, and the surpluses as calculated by ourselves. We publish these on the on a rolling basis, regularly updated, on the Elexon BM Report website. This is phase one. Phase two, which is a result of modifications, P219 and P220, which have just been approved by Ofgem, will come in November 2008, later this year. That will provide a whole new set of data and a range of info available on the Elexon website. We will also shortly, as we announced at a recent operational forum, begin publishing monthly constraint actions, actions that we're actually taking in order to resolve constraints. Those actions taken in the balancing mechanism, trades that we've undertaken, bilateral contracts, and intertrips. We have for some time been changing the format of our contracts in order to ensure that we are not prevented through confidentiality clauses to publish the information. It is our intention to be as transparent as possible on this constraint information, and we will desegregate it in such a way that it is clearly seen what action is directly resulting from a constraint, and we remove the energy components that may well be there to confuse it. So that will come very soon, and a detailed explanation of the monthly constraint actions available to all of the markets. Because we believe in this way, the best way to resolve these and the best way for the market to balance efficiently is to make the information as transparent as we possibly can. In summary, based on the information that we have, there will be adequate supply to meet demand for both electricity and gas demand this summer. But we can't afford to be complacent. Recent events at Grangemouth have shown that there can be shocks. We can't afford to be complacent, as things can impact on supply and there can be unexpected demands. And we are undertaking new transparency initiatives to provide more market information. And as I said at the beginning, in terms of a plea for information in terms of the outlook consultations, I'd make the same plea around transparency. If there's information there which can be released, we would welcome those questions, and we will also welcome to work with the industry to make as much information available as we possibly can where it's possible without breaching confidentiality issues. And that's the summer outlook.